Hello, this is Musha's radio station, yes? Yes, in response to your other caller, I thought that perhaps I would enlighten your audience on the deviancy of the Jew. See, my grandfather, like my father, served in the Great War, and I have a better insight into the actual Jewish problem. They first stole banking from the Freemasons to make their money, and then they suppressed the rest of the world with their ideas. They crucified Christ. The final solution that my grandfather thought is not a mere delusion. There is a Jewish problem occurring in the United States as we speak. And I will be watching you, Herr Masha.
Oh, cough button.
This is dead air is much better than the cough, folks. I guarantee that.
Just shoestring this show up. Shoestring.
You're listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkWarrior.com radio network. This show is dedicated to fighting republicanism, evil, and defending the law of God. Today is Sunday, April 30th. You can call in at 415-738-0689. That's 415-738-0689. Our website is TalkWarrior.com. Now, introducing the star of Live from Mount Sinai, from Mount Sinai, Massachusetts, weighing in at 201 pounds, the heavyweight champion of Hebes, the circumcised surrealist, the scourge of Limbaugh, Moshe Moses Moskowitz.
I'd like to thank the good Reverend Jethro for Ed McManning the show. And
thank you, Moses.
Sure. And I just want to say that today was an unscheduled show. We just sort of slapped it together. But next week we will be doing the show at the standard time at Sunday at 4 o'clock. And you can, you know, they always say, like, I listen to like college radio station, and they're always like, you could hit me up, you know, and they're like talking in like cool language. You know, and it's like when you're pushing 40, it's like being cool. Just it sounds so stupid. But anyway, you can hit me up, okay, at 415-738-0689. In fact, you could leave a message even when the show is not in progress, like that crazy Nazi that I played. At the beginning, and I've a little difficulty believing he's a real Nazi. He sort of sounds like that guy from that movie with who's
sounded like Doctor Strange.
Right, Doctor Strange. I mean, I had a lot of trouble believing that. But anyways, let's get on to the show. I want to talk. We have a very important show to do today, but first, let me just throw at you the topics quickly. We're going to talk about again. We're going to talk about the conspiracy of the Church of the Subgenius. In fact, I'm going to talk more about the leader of this conspiracy, Dist, the good Reverend Jethro. Hold on here. I gotta get through the topic list. So, but he dissed my boy, and I don't appreciate that. And you people at the Subgenius Church, you're gonna get a fucking ass whooping. Okay. But anyways, we have some more serious topics to do after that. I want to talk about the Microsoft. They've been poking their nose into they've been real pricks, and I want to get to that. And I also want to talk about a topic that white people don't like to talk about, a serious topic, a racial issue. I want to talk about racial issues. I want to talk about racial equality. I know this is something that white people don't like to discuss. They like to pretend that you know, we live in an egalitarian world of fairness, and then everything is cool, and that's really not the case. And I would like to get onto some serious topics after I get that serious topic after I get through with bashing what is his name? Reverend Stang is the one that insulted you. Okay, is that correct? I'm trying to. Here's my note.
Yeah, that's your take on it, but reading it, he doesn't know who I am, and actually he did make a mistake. He gave me credit for something I didn't produce. He said I produced a track for The Hour of Slack, and that's not correct. That was actually Reverend Raymond Lafferty. He produced a track called All Praise Bob that was on The Hour of Slack, 980. And just wanted to clear that up. But beyond that, I think, if he admits at the beginning, I skimmed through parts of it. And I did reply on the alt.slack board, basically saying that if you had listened, I basically said, and I did too.
Look, I know you have to protect the church. I realize. Look,
Reverend.
Reverend, I realize you have to protect the church, but I have to protect you. I have to protect the integrity of this institution. Okay. Now, I know you have to go. It's sort of like, the Roman Catholic Church, and Stang is sort of like the Pope, and you got to follow the Pope, even if the Pope is out of his fucking mind. But anyways.
I have something to say to that, and that's why I'm more.
Keep it terse. We got to hit and run. Remember that.
Well, hit and run, but I'm, just to let you know.
Hit it hard.
We're the Mystic Knights of Bob Dobbs. We're our own sect. We're not exactly, we're loosely affiliated with the church. I mean, I say, send in your $30 to the church, because so saith Bob, but at the same time, our message is that you can basically learn and live the way Bob intended you to live without the church.
So Reverend, I want to address this subcult that you have started, but this week, I want to get to that next week. I also really want to get to Ward Churchill in a major way. Okay.
But we will
talk about your new weird subcult. Okay. But on this week, I want to concentrate on the diss, that Stang has placed on you, as has directed towards you. And I want to read you a quote. I know you have to play good cop. I know you have to, be subservient to the man, but I want to give you a quote here, okay, from Stang, from the Pope of the cult, okay?
Okay.
This is from the Google Beta news group. The subgenius talking to Moshe is Sean Lennon, who recently did an audio piece that was on Hour of Slack. Not someone I know really, though. Some of the disinformation, okay? Disinformation, but let me read it. I should have kept reading it. But I heard some of, let me repeat that. Some of the disinformation I heard him spout was hilarious. I don't know whether he knows it's disinformation or not. I love hearing authoritatively spoken facts about the church history that are way, way off base, because it lets us know that the urban legends about us are, and it goes on and on. Okay? But, this is my host, Stang, and you don't disrespect him. Okay? You treat, you know, don't fuck with my Ed McMahon. That's what I'm telling you, Stang. Okay? And furthermore, you know, I want to start an anti-cult to this evil satanic subgenius cult, you know? And I'm thinking about calling it, I don't want to call it the church because I run a Jewish show. I am Jewish.
I'm looking at the off.slack, and it says a rather curious Hasidic Jew considers Bob.
I want to make it clear that I am not Hasidic. I am Orthodox. That means that I keep I don't wear that black outfit, but I still observe the dietary restrictions. So I don't, when I'm eating ham, okay, when I'm eating, you know, a pork product, I don't mix it with dairy. I can't mix dairy with my pork products. Okay, so I'm strictly, you know, so I am an Orthodox Jew, not a Hasidic. Okay?
Oh, they got that now.
I'm sorry, I couldn't say that with a straight, I couldn't. I don't want to start a church, I want to start a temple. And I want to call it, this is a counter, it's a counter movement to the Church of the Subgenius. I want to call it the Temple of the Mildly Retarded. How is that?
Work on the name. I don't think it has like the marketing.
How about the Church of the, the Temple of the Subnormal?
How about the Temple of the Subaverage? Ignite the Bob Dobbs. How's that?
Okay. Look, I'm going to get the investigative reporter team on that. And we will do that next week. But you have to do your Ward Churchill homework.
Okay,
and
I
want to get to Churchill. Okay? But again, I want to issue this challenge. I want to issue this challenge to to Stang. To the good Reverend Stang, okay? I am challenging his status as a subgenius. I believe to be a subgenius. Okay, it's something like you have to be. It's under. I think genius range is something like 139, 149 IQ. Okay, and I challenge Stang. I assert that Stang, his IQ is under 100, and I challenge Stang to a retardo contest to see who is more retarded. And I believe that once the results are in, I will Stang will be more retarded than me, and I am officially retarded. My IQ is 95. But
I can't wait to see how that turns out. Have you contacted him? Have you made an effort to contact him?
I'm issuing the challenge now, and believe me, his listeners will let him know. But I'm running too. I'm not hitting and running. I got to hit and run. I've spent too much time in this topic. Got to move unless you got something really pressing to say.
No.
No. Okay. Let's move on. I wanna talk about Microsoft, and I also want to talk about Bill Gates. And let me just want to read you a quote. This is something from Microsoft. It's routers? It's routers, right? News agency?
Reuters.
Oh, Reuters. Thank you. Okay. See, that's why I need. See, you're my brain. Yeah, my IQ, I got a deficit. Let me just address what
your IQ plus my IQ makes just about 100, I think, on the IQ scale there.
You know, is Reuters?
Reuters.
Reuters, okay. Microsoft, it's a Reuters article. Microsoft Gates urges end to tech visa limits. Here. it says here, Microsoft is having a hard time finding skilled workers within the United States, and the lack of H-1B visas for skilled workers is only making the situation worse. Gates said in a panel discussion at the Library of Congress, and here's a quote from him, quote, the whole idea of the H-1B visa thing is don't let too many smart people come into the country. The whole thing doesn't make sense, unquote, Gates said. Okay. Now, I want to cut through the crap here, okay? Uh-huh. There's a lot of crap being said here. Now, I am a computer programmer. I'm like a perpetually unemployed computer programmer, but I am one, and I'm also retarded. I really am. My IQ is 95, so I can understand. I'm not a smart person, You know, Bill Gates says, don't let too many smart people into the country. However, I know I am friends with many smart computer programmers. I won't say it that way, but I am friends with one smart computer program who is unemployed like me, who is in a similar situation, who knows many people in this similar situation. There's a lot of unemployment in the software industry, okay? Now, let's just cut to the chase here and cut the crap, okay? You know, this shit about ending the this H-1B visa thing, okay? The whole idea behind this is to just water down the labor market. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So what you do, you flood the labor market with foreigners. Okay. I hate to use this word, quote, foreigner, because this is sort of like right wing, lingo, catchword stuff. What it makes me sound like what? What is the word? Xenophobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like that. I am not against foreigners. I'm not against them coming into the country. I'm not against them speaking Spanish or Indian or whatever fucking language they want to speak. I have no issue with foreigners. The issue I have is a social issue, and the social issue which is the greed of and lies of these owners of corporations. Okay,
Oh, I was
go ahead.
Saying that the Bush administration basically created a new word for slavery, and it's called immigration.
Go on.
That's my comment. Well, that's because they'll let X amount of workers in, unskilled, uneducated workers, to do all the crap work. I mean, it's like one thing if somebody wants to take the incentive and cross the border illegally on their own so they can try and scratch out a living doing whatever they can and respecting that. But then at the same time, those people that are going through legal channels are basically coming into the country with agreements with maquiladores and corporations and the farming industry, and the wages are basically fixed. Mm-hmm. And with the promise of getting citizenship in 2 years or something like
right.
that. I don't know the exact
right.
amount
right.
of time. But the thing is that corporations and they do this with people who are in retirement positions
right.
and about to get their pension. They'll be a week away from whatever they got to do, and then they're going to be fired, and they're going to lose it.
Here's the concept, okay? Mm-hmm. Flood the market. Okay, so it's all supply and demand. Okay, the more supply, okay, the less you have to pay people, and
right.
that's the name of the game. And I tell you what, I have no issues with letting in the foreign. I can't speak about other labor, other markets. I know software, but if we had full employment. Okay, in software, I would have no issues at all with letting in people from other countries to work here. Okay, but I want to hit and run. I got to hit and run, and I got to go. I want to talk about another, Microsoft has also been, this was a Bill Gates comment, but here, this is not a Bill Gates comment. This is really a Microsoft comment, okay? Microsoft has been getting involved in politics, specifically in our gay rights. Now, I'm going to read you something from Argon Live, newsflash, okay? This is something that was said. This is a quote from Steve Ballmer. It's a little long. I'll try to read it fast, okay? There have been several news stories that imply that Microsoft changed its position on an anti-discrimination bill, HB 1515, because of pressure from a conservative religious group. Oh, by the way, this is a memo. This is his quote in a memo that he wrote. Okay, I want to make it clear, going back to what Ballmer said, and by the way, Ballmer is the CEO of Microsoft. I should have said
yes.
that.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him almost self-combust.
What?
No, he goes and they have those conventions, and he gets up on stage, and he screams, yeah!
Yeah, Ballmer. Yeah. Okay. I want to make it clear that is not the case. When our government affairs team... Here's the pivotal part of this. When our government affairs team put together its list of its legislative priorities in Olympia before the legislative session began in January, we decided to focus on a limited number of issues that are directly related to our business, such as computer privacy, education, and competitiveness. The anti-discrimination bill was not on the list, and as a result, Microsoft was not actively supporting the bill in the legislature this year. Well, what in the fuck is Microsoft doing getting involved in supporting They were originally pro-gay rights, okay, and then they switched their position, because he says here, because of pressure from, here, let me go back to his quote, okay, there have been several news stories that imply that Microsoft changed its position on anti-discrimination bill HB 1515 because of pressure from a conservative religious group, okay,
right.
So, it looks like they are going anti-gay, but
right.
You know whether they're pro-gay or anti-gay. You ask me that question, but it seems to be fucking irrelevant. That's not the issue.
Yeah,
they have no business.
Well, I understand
getting
that.
Involved
I, you know,
in
you,
politics.
You, I dig, but you see, that's the thing. I mean, that a company or a state or a political organization has no right to tell a person who they can, you know, get together with. You know, they have no right, but that's the way the wind is blowing right now. If you look at the elections we had last year,
November. November last year.
Yeah. It was all about gay rights. It was about gay marriage. And terrorism and immigrants, you know, and basically that was just, you know, nice little bit of smokescreen to get our minds off the fact that we're occupying another country and basically creating a siege situation over there where, you know, it's just getting worse by the day. And it's gotten worse since November. It's just gotten worse like daily and daily and daily. Every time, you know, that, you know, okay, the speech on the Arizona, oh, the war is over. That was a turning. He says it's a turning point. Then we capture Saddam. Oh, that was a turning point.
Are you talking about mission accomplished?
No, I'm talking about. Oh yes, the mission accomplished speech.
Yeah, and that's when Bush was on that aircraft carrier 30
right.
miles off of the coast of San Diego,
yeah.
your hometown, right?
Yeah.
Right. And when he flew in on
a jet
fighter, and then what the fuck? I don't remember, but it was a jet fighter.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing. I mean, it's
been... and also let me also point out that when I watched this. I watched this while it was happening on all three news networks. I remember distinctly it was MSNBC, and there was not one solitary mention of the fact that this fucking aircraft carrier was not in the Persian Gulf. It was 30 miles off of the coast of San Diego. Let me mention that again. San Diego. This was not a war zone, folks. Okay? But this is really a conspiracy. You know, I believe that you know, there is a right-wing conspiracy in the press, and this is an example of it. Okay, there's complicity.
All you gotta do is just watch Hannity for about an hour, and then you'll see it.
That's
you know, any like no critical thinking. They're all just touting the party line, bad mouthing anyone who speaks against the war, and bad mouthing anyone who asks serious questions as to why and what's going on. They're obviously they're instantly labeled as, you know, a terrorist or put into the Ward Churchill category, or what's that girl I can't remember her name. She was in the 9/11 movie that.
Yeah,
she
looks like that hottie from Buffy the Vampire Slayer that moved on.
Yeah,
that,
something like.
Charisma Carpenter. She looks like Charisma Carpenter, but she's not Charisma. Go on.
But yeah, I mean, it's just pathetic. And, you know, and I wish I had a quarter for every time we had a turning point, like I was saying earlier. I mean, at first it was supposed to be the end of the war, the speech on the Arizona, and then it was capturing Saddam. That was supposed to be a turning point. Now, then the turning point was elections in Iraq. Oh, that was supposed to be the turning point. Then the next turning point is have the government organized. And that was just the other day. And things are just getting worse.
I know, but
you know?
You wouldn't...
And no one in the so-called...
But we've all become desensitized because...
Oh, yeah.
You know, no one even thinks about it anymore. I mean, I was originally so fucking angry about this war, you couldn't believe it. But now it's like, man, why try? You know? Well, you know, it's like, you can't win. You can't try to reason with people. You can't try to see, you know, try to explain to people, you know, the insanity. Because, people are such fucking morons.
Well, it's just the old saying. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But the point of speaking out and standing up and saying it, even if you get blue in the face, is that eventually... You know, one other person is going to go, oh, wait, yeah, maybe so, you know. And if it wasn't for the popular outlook and point of view, Vietnam could have gone along years more. But no, the people finally stood up, and it brought the unrest to our soil.
Yeah,
you know,
well, there's no more Walter Cronkites. You know, China.
No, there's no human face on the media these days.
Yeah,
there's no one.
It's these. If anyone is the enemy, it's the media. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Propaganda.
Yeah.
I wanna take a break. I gotta take a break. Okay, we're back.
I have that article, by the way. It's Maggie. I'm not sure how to say her last name. It's either Gyllenhaal or Gyllenhaal, but
now what did she say? She made a comment.
This was in the AP, Associated Press, and basically she got berated for saying, in a statement issued Monday by her publicist, Gyllenhaal said September 11th was an occasion to be brave enough to ask some serious questions about America's role in the world, because it always it's always useful as individuals or nations to ask how we may have knowingly or unknowingly contributed to this conflict.
Now you're saying that there's some witch hunt out to get her because she made this statement? What's going on?
Yeah, well, basically, I'm looking at this article right here, and the topic is waded into sensitive political waters by raising questions about September 11th.
Yeah.
American
well,
foreign
God forbid you make a you think, God forbid.
Oh, yeah.
God forbid you
well,
think
she
about
goes on
things.
To say, she goes on to say, not to have the courage to ask these questions of ourselves is to betray the victims of 9/11. And that's just the thing. I mean, they can't nail down Ward Churchill, but they'll go after an actress, who might be worried about
her
next job.
You know, they love going after actors because actors are part of the whole Jewish conspiracy in Hollywood.
Yeah, but how do the Dixie Chicks fit into the Jewish conspiracy?
They must have some Jewish blood in them, I guess.
But she was in the movie Secretary, Mona Lisa Smile, Donnie Darko, and sister of actor Jake Gyllenhaal. She lives in Miami, but she stars in a film that tells stories about what happened in 9/11, personal stories and all. So of course that's going to come up, and of course she's going to have to say something. And of course, what she says is, looked down upon when it's probably the most rational and reasonable thing one can say.
Okay, Reverend, we're going to talk all this out. We are seriously going to talk. I really do want to talk about this. We're going to do a Ward Churchill show. I'd like to do it next week. You have to do your homework, and I want to address all these questions. I think they're very important. I really do. But we got to hit and run.
Okay.
But I'm glad you brought that up. I want to talk about I mentioned in the beginning. I want to talk about something that white people don't like to talk about. They feel uncomfortable with, and it's the topic of a racial inequality. Okay. I'm going to pull you up some material here. It doesn't come from, I didn't pick this material up from communist websites. This was all on government websites, statistics, okay? This is from census.gov. Okay, I want to read this to you. This is a quote. I'm sorry. Let me read you the DOJ statistics first. This comes from United States Department of Justice, USDOJ.gov. Okay, technically this is on OJP. What does that stand for? I don't remember right now. OJP.USDOJ.gov. Fuck it. Let me move on. Okay. Here's a quote. This is not a quote, but this is statistics of criminal. This is criminal offender statistics. Okay. And this is from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. Okay. Now here, based on current rates of incarceration, an estimated 32% of black males will enter state or federal prison during their lifetime, compared to 17% of Hispanic males and 5% of white males. Now, so let me try to try to simplify these numbers for you. Okay, I'm a white guy, so my chances statistically of going to jail are 6% in my lifetime. Okay? Now, if I was black, it would be 32%. Okay? That is almost one out of three. I'm a white guy, so I got a 1 out of 20 chance of going to jail. Okay? Going to prison, being incarcerated. Now, I'm going to go on to the poverty statistics, but first I want to say that we got a big fucking problem, okay?
Oh yeah.
Now, there's no question that we have inequality going on here. Now, there's only two explanations, not inequality. There's only two explanations for why black people, 1 out of 3 black people are incarcerated versus 1 out of 20 white people. There's only two explanations, okay? One is racism, okay, and poverty and social factors. Two, okay, is black people are inferior, okay? I'm not trying to be funny. These are the only two parts. I'm really trying to analyze this. There's only two explanations. Huh. Black people are inferior.
You can throw out number two, because it's
I don't believe it's number two. I think that number two is a crock of shit. Okay.
Absolutely.
I think it's number one, but why I'm pointing out these two possible explanations, because people that sit on their asses and deny this and say everything is fair, everything is cool, we're gonna keep going down we're gonna stay the course, blah blah blah. Okay, these people are in the social Darwinist camp, the racist camp. You cannot look at these statistics, okay, and say everything is cool and not be a racist. There's no explanation for this.
I know.
It's not entirely clear why. There's many reasons other than black people are inferior. I don't think that's the reason. There's many reasons why blacks are 1 out of 3 black people get incarcerated in a lifetime. One reason, we know that there's a high correlation between poverty and criminality. We know this, but I want to talk about poverty statistics. I think there's many other reasons beyond poverty. First of all, there's a racist justice system. There's many other reasons to explain why this.
I like to point out education as the main factor of why we get all, just in bad neighborhoods, but we get these Lindy England types, just dumb shits out there, and it's totally our education system.
Oh, you're talking about the torture woman.
Well, yeah. She's not black, but at the same time, I pretty much can guarantee her school isn't very well funded.
You know, so I think that more we should really concentrate, instead of attacking her, okay, people, the perpetrators of this criminal act of torture against political prisoners in the Middle East, we should really be looking at people like Rumi. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm not attacking her. I'm just saying.
No, you should attack her. No. She's open game. I think you should attack her.
Well, she's just not smart enough to question authority. You need to have brains. You need to have a sense of self-worth and self-accomplishment to question these things.
I think she's guilty.
And if she had any sense whatsoever, she would have looked around and realized that this is not right. But people, the whole entire education system, if you're in a poor part of the neighborhood, there are no jobs. The only option is the military. You can flip burgers or go to the reserves and hopefully get some education.
Or you can also commit crimes, which, and you know that you'll eventually end up in jail.
Or deal drugs or something.
Yeah, and most of these offenders are like half of these people in jail. I don't. They also mentioned the drug. How many people in jails for drug crime? And I don't have it right now, but it's actually here. About a fifth. I'll read the state prisons. About a fifth were sentenced for drug crime. 21%. I don't have my statistics.
Yeah, but you also have to keep in mind that, you know, like the way our the way they're trying to put a spin on this is that if you notice, they're building prisons right and left.
Right. It's an industry.
It's privatized.
It's an industry.
You make money. It's an industry. You make money off of it. So, you know, if you're going to have these cells, you got to put people in them.
That's right.
To make money.
That's right.
You know?
I mean,
part of the problem.
There's a lot of advantages of poverty for specific groups.
Now, here's the thing. If it was still state and federal, you know, that's still a tax on the infrastructure and the society. And then in that case, they'd be more interested in actual rehabilitation. But there's not. They don't care. They're just thrown in there and forgotten about, you know. And there's another issue with education. You know, they don't know anything else. They're put in there so early. And there's nothing inside, no real schools or real talents inside to. And I'm not talking about making, you know, Bausch and Lomb lenses or putting together computers for schools and stuff like that. I mean, they're really just using them as slave labor, and they're also using them for telecommunications and customer service and telemarketing. They're using these people. It's slave labor. And they're making buco bucks off of it. So there's no, and it is racial. It is prejudice, absolutely.
Okay.
And it goes way deep.
It does, and I wish I had. I don't have. I know what you're saying, but that's. Yeah, I gotta move on.
Okay.
I wanna stay on this issue, but I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna read you something from census.gov. This is a 2002 census data, and this is something from their website, census.gov. Here. The poverty rates in 2002 for non-Hispanic whites, 8% for those who identify with no other race, and Asians 10% to 10.3%, depending on the race definition, were not different from the rates for the closest groups available in 2001. Among people who reported black in 2002, 23% to 24.1% were in poverty. Okay, so the poverty, that means that the poverty rate for black people is three times that of white people. So I'm white, my chances of living in poverty are 8%. If I'm black, it's almost one quarter. You have one out of four black people are living in poverty. Again, there's only two explanations for this disparity. A, we live in a racist society. B, hold on, let me get to B. B, black people are inferior. Okay? You can't, there's no other explanation. So, if we are to continue down the road that we're going, then we have to admit to ourselves that we believe in social Darwinism. Because you have to acknowledge this. Okay, so this something, if we are to believe that that black people are not inferior, we have to do something to make to correct this problem, to correct this disparity. I don't understand if I'm making, if I'm being clear.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I think all we can do is just keep pointing that fact out.
No, I think there's more than that. I think that there's many things we can do. We can you know, we all know that public school funding is some of it is subsidized federally, but a lot of it comes from local tax dollars, and poor neighborhoods, okay, don't have as much money to put into the schools. So we have inequities in the education system. There's things we can do. Try to make, all I'm asking is that everyone get a fair shake. And I don't think that's so much to ask. I know there's not easy solutions to these problems, but I think that we should be trying to do something.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, all we can do is what we can do. You know, I'm basically poor, working 4 jobs right now, trying to, you know, express myself as much as I can, along with you. You know, you're doing the same thing. You're getting out there. You're speaking your mind and pointing out these facts, too. At this point, we're doing what we can do. You know, because unfortunately we don't have the billions of dollars to compete with the corporations and the government and all that, and that's what the First Amendment is about and democracy is about. Democracy is basically, you know, supposed to be a form of fairness to protect.
No, it's not. We have a serious disagreement with democracy. Democracy is not about fairness. Okay, it's about. It's about the majority rule, period. The majority does not have to be fair.
Right. Well, no, actually, you're right. It is the majority rules, but at the same time, it was intended to be a tool to protect those who don't have the power.
I don't think so. I really disagree with that.
Right.
It's a tool to protect people that in the majority. I mean, you can see right now.
Don't have true democracy. Yeah, okay, look at those statistics. Now you're looking at.
We don't have a lot of time, but let's go ahead.
Really quickly, you see a lot of numbers, a high percentage point of black neighborhoods in poverty, and they're in jail. Well, they're the minority. If we had a democracy, they wouldn't have 3 voting machines for districts that have 3,000 people in them. They did that on purpose so they could restrict the rights of the majority, so the minority can basically tweak the numbers and get their way, basically. But if we had a true democracy where everyone's vote counted,
Can exist without corruption?
All I can say is we have to try, but we've never had a democracy. We're still living in a representative form of democracy, and you know, with the House of Representatives, and if we had an actual one person, one vote, which is what democracy, true democracy, is, things could change. Things could be different. But at the way it is now, if you cast your vote for someone who's going to cast their vote, and you hope that they go your way, that to me. You know, is an old-fashioned way of doing things, and they had to do it. All that many years ago, because you know we didn't have telegraphs, and we didn't have, the internet. We didn't have all this communication and telephones. They had to basically take a number, and rather than carrying, all of San Francisco or all of one region's votes to be counted, they basically we have a representative to take that vote and sway the vote that way. So it's not one person, one vote. And until it is, we really don't have.
We'll never get rid of the Electoral College. We'll never get rid of it. It's just too good for like small states. It's, you know, they'll be giving up all that power.
Absolutely. What if, you know, but that's the thing. And then that's not really a true democracy. It's just a representative form of democracy. And if we, I mean, people tout democracy all over the damn place. It's like this cure-all placebo type of expression. But, you know, nobody really realizes that, you know, that we don't have it yet. We never have. And until we do have a fair democracy where everyone's vote counts, and they don't have to wait outside in the rain for 8 hours and miss school or miss work, you know, to cast their vote.
Well, it's an interesting question. I would like to get a political science and have him say tell me if there's ever been an example of a democracy that's not been corrupt.
Well, only in the Indian tribes like the Navajo and I think I really don't know the true tribes, but that's basically how the tribal law works. Is there's a majority, and the majority makes the decisions, and the council validates those decisions and carries out the work, and that actually is you know, if you, you know, look into it, you know, quite a few Indian nations are actually true democracies, although there is corruption. In a local case here, they have not a traditional form of government, but they created their own government, and three of the council members basically stole like $80,000 or whatever, and the tribe is in the process of getting them out.
Okay,
and, you know, they're rebuilding their own government again. Go ahead.
The music is playing. We got to wrap.
Okay.
Credits. We're getting to the credits here. I'd like to thank John Truby for providing us with his music. For more information about John Truby, please go to our website at talkwarrior.com. I'd like to thank Raymond Lafferty for his production assistance. I'd like to thank the Reverend Knight. Also, that's his last name. His first name is Jethro. Jethro Knight.
Call me Jed.
Jed. Reverend Jed. I'd like to thank Reverend Jed for Ed McManning the show. Please check out his website at upstartradio.com. I would also like to thank the God of my original father, Abraham, who gives me the energy and courage to fight evil. This show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network.
Steal it. Take it. Steal it.
Fuck you. It may don't say that. It may be retransmitted, provided that it is not altered or excerpted in any way. I'll see you again next week. Asshole. I'm trying to protect my intellectual property, man, and you're fucking with me. All right, I'll see you again next week at Sunday, 4 o'clock Pacific time. Please see our website, talkwarrior.com, for updated information about the show. Again, the number is 415-738-0689, 415-738-0689. You can call in at any time. You can leave a message when we're not doing this show. You can tell me about, you know, your life. I don't give a shit. Just call. That's what the number is there for. Okay, we're gonna wrap it up. Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you, and praise Bob.
Yes. Yeah. No, don't praise Bob. Fuck Bob. We're against Bob.
Okay.
We're not praising him. Okay.
Okay.
We got our anti-cult here. All right. I'll see you again next week, folks.